Our Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistles from Hebrews chapter 10. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it. They said to him, Where will you have us prepare it? He said to them, Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room? Where I may eat the Passover with my disciples. And he will show you a large upper room, furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found it, just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So this Lenten season, we have tried to be realistic when it comes to evil, that is. Evil, certainly, that betrayed, condemned, and arrested and crucified Jesus. But also the evil in our world around us, and evil within ourselves and in our own lives today. So in the face of evil, we learn to trust God. We learn to trust his plan for our salvation carried out in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we learn that we can say to Satan, to the world, and even to ourselves, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. However, tonight is kind of a break in the action, a lull, at least as far as the evil is concerned. Tonight is the calm before the coming storm, where Christ our Lord gives to his church, to his disciples, to his followers, a beautiful gift, a precious, priceless treasure. That night Jesus said, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you," and that is, of course, his disciples, "before I suffer," he says. Jesus and his disciples are gathered in that upper room for the annual celebration of the Passover. But the Passover on that night is different, much different. This is going to be a turning point where it will be the fulfillment of the past, but a new covenant instituted in that present moment, and it is instituted and intended to continue on into the future. So past, present, future, all culminating on that night, on Maundy Thursday. Of course, we now know, as New Testament people, we now know that every Passover that existed in the past, that is, prior to Christ, all those Old Testament centuries, they had all been pointing to, leading to that night. That particular Passover that Jesus longed to have with his disciples. If you recall the story, right, the Israelites were enslaved by the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and as they were enslaved, if you were to ask in that day, at that time, the average man on the street, how is it that Israel is enslaved by these Egyptians? He probably would have answered something like this. Well, clearly the Egyptian gods are stronger and mightier than their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, not so fast. Because plague after plague demonstrated who the true God is. In the 10th and final plague, God told Israel to place the blood of the lamb over their doors, marking them as ones to be passed over, sparing them from the angel of death, and God brought them then out of slavery through the Red Sea unto a new life of freedom, a new life on dry ground. The Passover meal in the Old Testament, began as a remembrance of that deliverance. And down through the centuries, the people were supposed to remember. They were supposed to remember who the true God is and what that means for them, his people. But they didn't remember very well. While God was eager and willing to be their God, Israel broke the covenant. Time and time again, and as they eagerly and willingly went and chased after foreign gods, false gods. The covenant which Israel broke, this is what we read in Jeremiah 31, the covenant that Israel broke was in need of something greater. And as we look back now, we can see that God was always using that, intending all of those past events to point to that something that is far greater. And so that night then, in the upper room, with sin and evil all around, including the disciples' own evil, if you remember, they're arguing over who's going to be the greatest among them. The past then comes rushing up, and it cries out, "How long, O Lord? How long will it be until you deliver us yet again? How long will your people wander aimlessly? How long before, when will you do a new thing?" And the answer is, right now. That Maundy Thursday night remembered all of the past mercy of God, and it magnified it. It came together in that Passover that Jesus desired to eat, right there in that present moment. This was the turning point, where Jesus embraced the old as he created something new. Not something utterly new, like not connected to the old. It is connected, but something larger, mercy magnified. In a sense, it's renewed, it's larger, it's stronger, it's more beautiful. Jesus begins that night, that turning point, with the old ritual. takes the cup that is part of the old ceremony of the Passover. He blesses it, and he asks them to divide it among themselves. And then he says, that's it. I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes, until that great and last day. So turning from the old, Jesus then gives something new, really new. This bread is my body, which is given for you, he says. As you have remembered God's mercy through long ago, all these years, I am now giving a new deliverance for you to remember. Do this in remembrance of me, he says. This was new. The cup being poured out for you is the new covenant, he says, in my blood through my death. This was new. The old Passover meal has now passed away. Something new, greater, better has come. Of course, in the new, larger, stronger, more beautiful thing, Christ himself now, he is the Lamb, right? It is his blood that covers over the people. It is his death on the cross that protects people from God's wrath, from the angel of death, and from every. His death, once and for all, enables sinners now to leave slavery behind them and be God's free people in his grace and mercy. Jesus is the new and greater Passover Lamb. It's all about Jesus. But that's not all. Jesus isn't just the Lamb who protects us from death. He certainly is. But he's also the deliverer. He's the leader. He is the one infinitely greater than Moses, the one God chose to deliver his people throughout the exodus of Egypt. So Jesus, then, is both the sacrifice and the deliverer in this new and greater thing. And in that present moment that began, as we begin our services, it began that night, the night that he was betrayed, Jesus performs a new exodus. Jesus goes ahead of his disciples, he goes ahead of his enemies, he goes ahead of us into death, the death of on the cross. And he goes ahead of us as we then do not have to die for our sins, at least not eternally. And he has also gone through death and through the sea, and he has come out on dry ground, victorious, and risen for a new life on dry ground that leaves our sins drowned in the waters. And it leaves death permanently undone. The new Exodus. So that present moment was the turning point in all of history, those 3 days. The past is rushing forward. Jesus takes it, and he now fulfills it. But the events of that night, Maundy Thursday night, are for the future, too. There are two words that Jesus uses that give us that clue that he intends this to be for the future. There's two words. One is until, and the other one is remember or remembrance, right? Jesus says twice in our reading tonight, our gospel reading, he says twice until. For I tell you, I will not eat of it again, until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And two verses later, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then, of course, we have Jesus saying, do this in remembrance of me. So in this new meal that Jesus institutes, it's a gift that he intends to continue until the end. And as we know, and as we'll celebrate on Sunday, Jesus lives. So in this meal, we receive the very living Jesus, where he gives us his body and blood to eat and to drink for our salvation, for our forgiveness of sins and strengthening of our faith and love for one another. And he tells us to remember. Now, remembering Jesus in this sense is not to recall, like, oh yeah, I think of Jesus, I remember, oh yeah, he died for me, like, I forgot. It's not that sense of remembrance. It is something that you do in your heart. It is faith. It is believing. Believing in Christ and his word and what he promises in this sacrament. Remember. So the remembering that Jesus is talking about is faith, Faith says, yes, Lord, this new gift is here for us once again, protecting us from the death our sins deserve. It is this new gift here again for us, strengthening us, forgiving us, as we draw together now in love for one another. We remember, we believe, that is, in you, Jesus, as we eat your body and drink your blood, as we are one united body in Christ. Yes, Lord, this new gift is here for us once again, and it will be until, we will do it until, see, Christ's gift stretches out into the future, until it is fulfilled in the reign of God, the kingdom of God, until Christ returns in all of his glory and power and might to usher us into a new heaven and new earth. So in that respect, this is simply a foretaste of the feast to come. You could say it's temporary until the Lord comes, because it's there at that future banquet where death will finally be swallowed up forever, gone. A beautiful table set for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as well as an unlikely believing criminal that was crucified next to Jesus, as well as everyone else who remembers or believes in Jesus. And by God's grace and mercy, you and I have reservations at that table too. There's a name plate just for you. One final thing. Why did Jesus earnestly desire that night? Jesus earnestly desired that night because he loves his Father, and he is obedient to his Father, and he is eager to do the Father's will, even suffer death on the cross, to carry out the Father's plan for man's salvation. And he also does it. He's earnestly desiring to eat this Passover that night because he loves sinners. He loved his disciples. He loves his enemies. He loved you. And he continues to love you. Always. Past, present, and into the future. For here in Christ's church, and with his gifts, love reigns. Forgiveness reigns. Mercy reigns. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel, and you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth. And from my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generations. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it.